What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if you're new, welcome to the table. We are not an actual play podcast, but our podcast is here to help you actually play. We're a couple DMs who create stories and sessions based on a random theme and scenario, rolled on a table with the good old 2d20. Great way to get your creative juices flowing and flex your DMing muscles. With that, we're going to go ahead and move on to introductions. My name is David. I'm going to be our intro host for this week.
I'm Malcolm, and I'm going to be your theme dice. Well, you know, the being that holds the theme dice. Let's go with that.
Hey, what's up? I'm DM Mambo 5 here. Sam, the scenario host, the one rolling dice on that sweet, sweet scenario table, giving you all the good episode chunks, puns, you know, I'm here for you. Let me know if you need anything. Please call at 1-800-FILLING-IN-THE-GAPS. And I will field all your questions.
I think that's a couple numbers too long.
I was actually questioning that, too. I was like, if it's FITG instead of the whole field, how would...
Well, FITG D&D is 7.
It's FIT gaps, you know.
I feel like we're going to send them down some different rabbit holes.
Rabbit holes need gaps, you know. We can fill those.
That's the 1-900 number.
Yeah.
To get us warmed up for this episode, I do have a question. Is there a rule in D&D that you would either change or just completely get rid of? Which rule would it be?
I would like to get rid of the rule of cool and make it the rule of uncool. So if it's uncool for you to do, let's make that the official rule.
What happens if it's uncool for you to do?
Oh, you know, if it's uncool, if you roll a nat 1, switch that to a nat 20. You know, you feel like you're rolling and you don't feel like rolling. Just place your dice down on a 20 and call it your roll. That's pretty uncool to do, but hey, it's kosher now. You leap off the tower and you slay the dragon with a mighty blow. No, you don't. You leap off that tower right into its jaws. You're dead. You turn the cool into the uncool. Flip it on your players.
Fascinating.
So you're playing Call of Cthulhu instead.
I would like to say Dark Souls, but, you know, we could do that too.
Elden Ring just came out. That's pretty fitting.
You know, I don't feel like I could play that game. I want to play that game, but I don't think I have the mental capability or prowess to play a game. But, you know, I would still like to watch a fun playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to play through that game also. But my difficulty is, I need maps. Without maps, I am severely lost, and I will walk around the same level for 7 hours going like, oh, there's a new spot. Oh, I'm back where I started. To answer your question, all spells can be used creatively. All of them. I want to fill the water in the lungs, so let me do that. When I have create water as a spell, it's not a container. If I can define it as such, it is. All right, I'm not going to fill your lungs with water, fine. But your stomach's a container. We're going to get it. I'm going to do this. And you're going to let me DM. And so I would love that rule to be changed, that people are cool about it. If anybody ever wants to play at my table, yes, I would allow it. Just know that my big rule is always, I believe in consequences. So you do that, people are eventually going to start being afraid of you. That sounds good at first, until you realize, surprise, surprise, no, you're the big bad. And that means people are coming out for you.
What do you mean I can't do war crime?
Yes. Well, that'd be uncool, so it's kosher at my table. No, war is not cool, everyone.
For me, there was a rule back in a 3.5 edition book that I really like, and a lot of people kind of adapt it for home games, but I think it'd be fun to see brought up and updated for 5th edition, which is the Gestalt rules. And the gist behind that is to, like, A, have stronger characters, and B, have more kind of complex things. It lets you take two levels at each level, and then you get the like numerical benefits of both, and the or the higher of the two numerical benefits and class abilities from both levels. So like if you were a barbarian wizard, you would get the hit dice and whatnot of the barbarian. You'd get spells from and like proficiencies of the wizard and spellcasting and rage at the same time.
So you're saying that you get the best of both worlds?
Noob, cut that out.
No, it's going to stay in there. Disney can't stop us.
They could probably stop anyone they wanted to, but we're homey enough where they don't care. I like, that's actually pretty cool. Although, wouldn't rage still cancel spell casting, though? Isn't like that's a thing?
Yeah, that's not a great example because you can't really cast spells while raging, but you could do things like sorcerer and monk and be able to have like really kind of ascetic character options where it's like, I punch and a fireball comes out to really channel your inner Liu Kang.
Although I really like the idea of like Dumbledore getting pissed off in the middle of a battle, breaking his wooden staff across his knee and just pulling out like a giant like war axe. And he's like, God damn it! And just going on, just like throwing his spells to the side and just going ham on all the orcs or whatever.
You picture that. I picture just Uncle Iroh in the prison just being like, surprise! And you're like, oh! Spoilers for Avatar.
Yeah, I mean, rage is like a spell. You can just only cast it on yourself.
Huh. That's an interesting way of looking at that. Maybe yules and eyes ain't so different after alls.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like an actual rule I would change besides the rule of cool, because we all use that. I do believe probably spell components. I don't know how to, but that needs to change.
That does.
I've never had a DM tell me, you don't have the five feathers or the moth dust to cast that spell. And I understand some DMs, you know, you need the diamond for Revivify, you need the gold equivalent. But I've never had anyone be like, you need to actually find the five eye newts. You need to cast this spell or you're not going to be able to cast it.
You can't cast that. I don't see bat guano on your sheet.
Also, I would like to change wizards, maybe. It's not really a rule, but I feel like wizards and rangers could be improved a little bit more. Or I'd like to see more of a intelligence class that total intelligence isn't just a dump stat. Would be kind of cool, just because wizards are pure, you're supposed to study for ages to master this, and unless you're playing like a prodigy kid, you're always going to be the old wizard, and then if you're with a sorcerer who just woke up, he's like, yeah, some dragon kissed my mom, and I was born with these powers, you know, and so now he's got all these powers, and you're just there studying your butt off for 30 years in a tower on the coast with a bunch of other dudes. It doesn't seem so much like, you know, just give them something more to do.
I honestly would like if Magic had more of a give-take system, because a lot of times, speaking of the Revivify, speaking of the different components needed, I feel like it should, like, drain you, or you should... How Wish works, I really like, actually, that it's like, you might lose all magic forever. Like, not to that extent, granted, but to do something where it's like, you're drained for that time, and you can't do... Making spell slots really feel like, oh, I just don't... Not only do I need to rest, it's like, you're done. Your magic is spent. It is out. You can't do more. It should feel more like how Wish feels of, there's a gamble here that if this doesn't work, you're tired, you go home. And I get that's how spell slots are supposed to work, but they don't. So I get you with the components, and I get you with spell slots.
Spell slots are just like, well, I only brought this many bullets today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think spell slots could be amped up. I had one DM who, if you went past like your spell slot limit, what you had, you would roll on percentile dice, and that's how much HP or hit points you would lose.
I love that.
So you're using your life force. So you're using a conscious decision to like drop your life points. And we had it where someone lost 90% of their health, and he went by like the total hit points you had. So even if it was already halfway, if you got that 90, it would drop you, which was cool.
I really like that.
You really put you in situations where you had a compliment. I was going to say compliment that, but that's not the right word. My brain is fried, so contemplate. Is that the word? Contemplate?
Yes.
Yes.
That kind of reminds me of the mages in the World of Darkness games. They just have magic, and when they cast it, reality doesn't like that, and reality tries to, like, snap back. So the more outrageous your spell is, you have to roll what's called Paradox, and the worse you do on that roll, the more damage the universe does to you. And it's flavored as, like, it can be anything from just, like, some kind of backlash, or it can be, like, stigmata if your character's more into, like, the religious trope, where, like, I think we had someone who wanted someone to, like, to hit someone with a lightning bolt, but they were like, I don't want it to look real suspicious, so instead I turn a strip of the street below me into copper, and I electrocute that to electrocute them. That's not gonna go unnoticed, and so they had to roll. And because they rolled really poorly, they, like, split their arms open and started to bleed out.
I like this.
Yeah, I like the flavor. That actually made me think of one more rule we should change. That's the almighty rule of, shall we roll?
Let's do it. My dog just, like, barked right after that. It was like, woo!
They agree. So now we're moving into the next section of our show. Malcolm and Sam are each going to roll a d20. We're going to compare it to our list of themes and scenarios and see what combination we get to throw together for you today.
I, like I said earlier in the intro here, I will be rolling on your scenarios table. And I'm rolling my lovely purple heart dice. And I rolled a 16.
I am rolling on our lovely themes table. And I have rolled on this beautiful blue dice and got myself an 18.
Those are nice big numbers. All right. So today's theme was presented by the wonderful Combi Zombie on our Discord. The theme is a final stand. And the scenario, submitted by Solok, also from Discord, your favorite tavern is going out of business. So we have a final stand in which your favorite tavern is going out of business. What is the first thing that comes to mind with that combination?
I love this one because it fits perfectly, but also does at the same time. And immediately my thought is this is a high level adventure. You're level 17 or, you know, somewhere high. And you finally go back to the starting town and you go back to the tavern where you first met your party. And the old timey bartender walks out to the door right as you're about to walk in and puts a closing tomorrow sign up on the door. The old timer.
I'm thinking, okay, movies are my thing, and At World's End, which is a movie about they go to a pub, then an alien invasion happens. Now, we don't need to follow that plot exactly, but the idea of, like, big event happens, big world-ending event, as you go to maybe meet up one final time in the tavern where it all started, you guys are all coming back together for the 20th anniversary or whatever of last time you were all seen together as heroes, and it's like, maybe you're all old, maybe you're all just like, you just finished and you're like, let's go back to where we started. But the idea of this being a very big event seems kind of fun. Or I also thought of doing a very small thing of, like, you go back and it's like, oh no, this man has, like, said he's, like, shaking down the town. And you're like, oh yeah, we could totally get rid of that guy. Who is this guy bothering you? Some sort of guy barging down the door? And it's like, now you're going up against the orc mafia and their Mafadon dragon boss. You know?
That's good. I think the first thing that comes to mind for me, if a town is going to be destroyed, that means your tavern is going out of business. So I picture underground in, like, a big dwarven area. There's a favored bar that maybe some old retired adventurers like to frequent. And when whatever monsters are coming up from the depths, when that happens, they decide to take a final stand because they're these drunks who've kind of moved on with their lives. And they're taking this final stand in the tavern because it's their home.
Hmm. All right. Sam, any of these appeal to you?
I like the last one, what David just said. I feel like that could be a lot of fun. Just a one-night stand, one-night final stand, where it's you know, your last hurrah. There's going to be, let's just say, a Tarrasque is in the vicinity. It's coming to town. Everyone has left except the old-timey bartender and your party who want one last, you know, drink. He can't move because maybe he's in a wheelchair, too old, too stubborn. And, you know, you have your one-night final stand at the bar, at the tavern you met in, right before you retire. And that's just what you're going to throw down. No fancy, you know, planning. It's just meeting with the boys and the party, going out and slaying a Tarrasque. And if you don't come back, at least you spend it at the tavern you left, you know, you started off with.
I'm getting a lot of Piano Man vibes from the idea of this, of just like everybody's in this tavern. Everybody's kind of accepted fate because they can't outrun. I think it's important that we probably mention, because I like the idea of the stubbornness of a person being like, I want to keep it open. But I think it's even scarier if they're just like, where would we go? Like, whatever's coming is going to get here. And when it does, so.
I bet this would be like a dwarven meme. Just a bunch of dwarves who are like, when you want to go down with the Titanic, but you don't know how to play any instrument, you stay in the tavern and drink it.
Have we done zombies?
Probably. Yeah, I think it would be fun, though. You could incorporate drinking games in, you know, the tavern. You know, one last hurrah. So your party's in there, and, you know, you remember, you know, you have the local drunk dad who's in there all the time. And he's like, come here, guys, just for old time's sakes, let's play one more game of Up the River, Down the River. Or, let's play that King's Cup game you introduced me to way back when. The boys love that one. And, you know, you play it with your players. You know, this is going to be, you know, make sure you're all 21 or legal drinking age in whatever country you're listening from. You know, we're not warning. We don't want minors to drink. You know, keep it legal. Keep it safe. But, you know, it's Dungeons and Dragons. You can get a little drunk sometimes.
I have an idea. I'm going to take from something else. There's this game, I believe it's called After Party, in which these two souls get trapped in basically hell. And they're like, we don't want to be here. And then they're like, well, what we got to do now is we got to outdrink the devil, and then we can leave. What if we have, like, some being, not the devil, but some being comes to town and is like, I'm here to, like, just big Seven Samurai moment. And instead, you're, like, the guy running the tavern's like, oh, yeah, beat me in a drinking contest. And that's the thing. That's the way you can have, like, your fun session of just, like, drinking games and stuff. It's still stakes of, like, like, you better slam that. You better get that right. Because if you don't, it's like, then your souls are mine. And you're like, oh.
That's really good. And with drinking games, you also can have like that kind of Legolas Gimli dynamic where every time someone defeats one of these invaders or whoever's trying to destroy the area, then you earn a shot or you have to take a shot.
Yeah, this could also be for when maybe a campaign is coming to an end and it's not exactly where you wanted, DM wanted to end it, you know, but maybe a player's moving out of town or some other incident's popping up where you're losing a player and you just decide to end it, or people want to play a different type of game. This is a great way to end it. You know, you throw a Tarrasque at your party. It's super hard, challenge level 30, I believe. And, you know, you get super drunk and you just go for it.
That's really good. I like the idea of a Tarrasque, but I came up with an idea for what we could potentially call this one. And instead of a Tarrasque, maybe this area, a planar gate to like an elemental plane of ice is opened, and ice elementals are what are kind of flooding out and attacking you. And so you spend this time at the pub trying to crack open a cold one with the boys.
I like that.
Not too shabby. I like that. I'm thinking, because I like the ideas that we've kind of presented of like a big bad or even just a monster, a devil, or whatever, coming through and being like, this is it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fight you guys. And then, again, we have different options if you want to do how you'd want to do drinking games. If you want it to just be a sillier adventure, you just do the thing of like, okay, it challenges you to like a drinking contest, or it's like, name your thing. And the old man of the bar goes like, they could beat you in a drinking contest, hand down. And you're like, okay, thanks, old man. Or it's like, you know, big invasion happens, protect the bar. Either would be super cool.
All I'm thinking of right now is nuclear winter is happening. So you have an ice-themed game, or ice-themed encounters. just one right after another. You know, you have the ice elementals, you have ice dragons, silver dragons. You know, you could just go full Monty with this one. All like ice winterland theme, you know, bring up the snow maiden, crack open that book, and, you know, just cracking open a skull with the party, you know.
Which means our big bad gets to be Jack Frost.
I was thinking the snow miser.
In Norse mythology, when it's like leading up to Ragnarok, there's a period of time called Fimbulvetr, Fimbulwinter, and it's this harsh winter that precedes the end of the world and is supposed to put an end to all life. So that could be this event, either for your one shot or at the end of a campaign that your party is trying to face right now. And then you could throw a bunch of like Norse coded monsters at your players.
Hey, Crisis on Infinite Planes, finally got a sequel, everybody.
Well, I think that's actually a good idea. Maybe we could pull from a whole bunch of different, you know, mythologies and all of that for, you know, different encounters. You know, you have Norse, bring in Japanese, you know, even like cryptics from America. Canada, I'm sure, has some snow monster type thing, maybe a giant moose. Or all the maple syrup. All the maple syrup froze.
Giant moose is on our side. I will not stand for otherwise.
And so I think that's actually would be really cool. So that the players have this gauntlet of drunken adventures they get to play out one last time. And if, you know, like I said, I see this more as like a campaign ending type of plug-in gap filler, where you don't know exactly where to end the campaign. So you just decide to get your party, your adventurers all together, your players all together, get drunk, have some fun, and just enjoy the laughs of the night.
That's really good.
I view it much more as a kind of, it's been a long time since you got to play D&D. So it's like, hey, where have your characters been? They all kind of come back together. They all get a letter to meet here from the tavern that started it all. And it's like, this is our big, like, we're not going to make another campaign yet, guys. This is just to play D&D because we haven't played in forever.
Oh, that's a cute idea, too. I like that. We got to name this tavern. What's our tavern name?
Starting Tavern.
While you're thinking of the name, I have another idea I want to throw out. I think it would be good, even if this works for both, if it's like a long time campaign, you can have like some kind of ale that's really famous in your world, and it can be produced at this tavern. Or in the one shot, your players can be here because they know that this famous ale is produced. And so the reason that they're deciding to stay here and make their final stand is because they love the beer so much.
We could also pull Witcher 3 and name it after them. If the adventuring parties, if it's at the end and it's the adventuring party, that could be the reason why they've been summoned. So it's not just we're going out of business. It's a thing of, oh, we're here to celebrate. And then they can break the news of like, yeah, this will be our last thing before we go out of business. I just wanted to honor you guys before we were gone.
I have a name. I called it I'll Be Back. until you won't be because it's closing.
And you're dying.
You do realize that now my brain is like, time travel, how do I fit it into this? So I'm going to be on that for a while.
So when your party goes back to protect the beer that's sacred, there's like a little gnome in the corner this whole time who's working on stuff. And if you keep him alive, it turns out he was working on some kind of magical time travel device.
An artificer.
I got it, actually. Okay, so I do know how to work time travel into this because that was going to be something. Because brain. But if you aren't sure how you want to do this, if you're like, but Malcolm, what if I want to pick up with these characters later and we don't want to retire them? Fine. Your characters get pulled into the future and they're like, we got to protect this one thing, whatever it is, if it's the beer, if it's whatever, and we're going to go Power Rangers on this. That's right. The way you gotta go is you gotta go find Krispy Kreme and protect it. So instead of Krispy Kreme, it is your favorite bar. And that is why you're there. It's because the center of power, whatever the bad guy needs, has secretly been in this place all along that you guys are like, oh, we all first met there. Oh, we don't really have a connection to Krispy Kreme. It's fine. It'll be back. Oh, yeah, I love that place. And it's like, oh, yeah, guess what? We had to go to the future.
Because the bar owner this whole time has been using, like, the big MacGuffin of the series to, like, stir his beer. And that's why it's so good.
The barkeep has been using a time travel device to keep all the patrons like locked in Yeah, so the barkeep has been, Albert, you know, why not, has been using a time travel device. You know, maybe it is the utensil or the ladle he uses to stir his vat of ale in the basement. He keeps using it to turn back the time, so when patrons, you know, leave for the day, they believe, you know, it gets to midnight, but then they leave, he turns it back so they come back the same time every day. And people don't realize that they're in this loophole until, like, you know, he has to go out of business because people maybe move out, or just the magic wand ends up breaking, or the magic ladle, whatever the time travel device is, ends up breaking. And all of a sudden, you go from this winter to a harsh heart, or sorry, you go from summer, because he keeps using the time travel to bump it back, you know, same day in summer. You travel back, and all of a sudden now it's flash forward to winter time. And everyone's aged super old. Your party, who's been stuck there for a while, thinking that they're in like a you know, starter village or starting out level one, but they've been level one for 50 years. And now all of a sudden, because the time, you know, device has broke, they're pushed forward into time, you know, because as you said, David, the world doesn't like magic. So now it's forcing everyone through time 50 years. And now your players are, all the XP they've gotten from the same quest they've been doing is now getting them to level 17. And they look outside and it's this frozen tundra because all the winter has been stored from time. And now they have to go and battle through this winter, you know, death trap. And when they get back, the barkeep is just, you know, hanging up the clothes sign, going out of business. Everything must go.
A winter underland, if you will. And also, when you said patrons, I thought patrons. You're in this bar. You don't know. You this whole time you thought it was normal people. I'm sorry. I'm just an old man, a great old man, in fact, some might say. And you've been in the tavern with patrons, baby, and that's going out of business. We can keep the Ragnarok idea with that as well, because then they're going to be like, they're dying. So they're all aware that they're going to die. That's why they're all there for this last round. Everybody just wants to hang out.
What if it's Asmodeus just wants to be a barkeep for once? And so he's making all of his, you know, people who sold his soul, the recent ones, all had to sign a deal that they would just stay in his bar and become patrons of his bar. And when he gets done and tired with it, that's when he's closing it. But he also gets some mortals because he's trying to, like, really grow his business out. But he realizes that, you know, it's just not for him. So he closes it, and that's when, you know, he doesn't know how to close things down and move on. He has to destroy the whole town so people forget about his failed bar.
I'm totally on board, especially with the fact that it's failing, because now it's about saving a restaurant or saving a bar. So it's like, we got to teach this guy how to do good service.
And you're doing a bar rescue for Asmodeus.
Yes!
Oh, man. I think that's funny. I still think I prefer the drunken shenanigans one more. I think that'd be easier to plug in. Because if you're going to do bar rescue, you got to really plan that out, and you got to have the right players for that one. That would be fun. I think we could pin that idea and plug it in a different scene and theme and scenario.
I think we might be able to tie them together. If the barkeep is using this time magic, and that could be like what causes kind of the end to happen. And maybe if they're not holding people in place, they're just using this time magic to age, like barrel age their ale. And so like elves show up to this place and they're like, man, this thing tastes like it's been aged for a century. And he's putting it out every day. That's weird. So you're at the point where time is ending and like you have entropy and the heat death of the universe. But if you're able to go back in time and teach him to brew things like a normal person rather than messing with the laws of physics, you can fix the bar and fix the world. Save the barkeeper, save the world.
Okay. What if it's about teaching? Because I do like, I want to keep the idea of like having drinks and having stuff within it, because that was really a fun idea of this. What if it's about teaching Asmodeus? I'm bad at the god names in D&D. What is it about teaching a great one, a great old one, whatever, about having fun So that's what it is? It's like, no, you've been running a... So, like, it's like, I'm going to destroy the universe. It's not worth... Like, it's a failing bar. I'm going to destroy the universe. It's not worth it. They have the big invasion, and they're like, all right, nuclear winter's coming, all of that, and you're just like, okay, whoa, what if we convinced you that having a bar is actually super fun? And it's like, I'll hear you out. And it's like, oh, you have to convince all the patrons... which are patrons or are different things to like, you got to get them on board, which means you got to do these different things, which means you got to teach them like, oh, you have a drink with them. Or you go like, yeah, people like when you give out free drinks. So you have to like, oh yeah, well, how many drinks could someone be served? And I'm like, three. And it's like, all right. And then you're like, then you take three drinks, player. And they're like, oh, okay. And so stuff like that. Yeah, working those kind of things that way. So it's teaching them, like, here's how you have fun. And that way, it works as a one-shot, it works as a campaign closer, it works as all those different things. The stakes are high, and in fact, world-ending, but at the same time, you're just protecting a bar and convincing an old man not to shut it down. And if you really want to be mean, say that the old man at the end isn't it, but he just thought he was. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, oh, I'm the great old one of some. And then it's just like, ah, oh, yeah, that's Jerry. He gets drunk on Thursdays and he always says he's the owner of this place. Crazy, right?
That sounds like a wild twist there. Like the Avatar live action movie was a great piece of film that worked there.
Oh, I will not. What? Did you compare my twist to Avatar?
They made a movie of that?
Shyamalan and Ding Dong did a great job. But I think, I really like the Final Stand just being the DM, you know, throwing every monster encounter that they wanted to plan, that they had planned and wanted to do at the players as they're drunk. Mm-hmm. And just see what happens. Just, all right, well, down the road, I had plans for you to see this guy, but so bam, here he is. Or, you know, there was going to be a twist with this NPC, and he was going to be a rat and stitch you out, but so he did now, and now you have to face the army that he ratted you to. Bam, here's a frozen knight army. You know, all of that stuff, because I really like the Final Stand idea, and it's just to get, like, one last drink at this cruddy bar that no one cares about, and some, you know... Ho-dank town in the middle of nowhere that they started their adventure in. And it's only important to your players. Literally, you forgot what the bar's name is, and they just keep bringing it up. And so now you have to go back, and you're just trying to wrap this one up for them.
I got one more idea to bring it all together. We got the time, doodad, that the owner of the bar has. It breaks. It is what is causing all these other things that are going to happen in the player's future to happen now. So it is all of those parts are happening. Picture the portal scene from Avengers, but it's instead of it being Avengers, it's bad guys that your players would have fought if they had the time. And your players have had you can even narrate the beginning as your players had a hard day. And they're just ready to sit down and relax with a nice cold drink and talk about what their next plan. And then it's just like, guess what? Then bad guys show up. Now you got to fight an army of dudes while you're trying to just have a restful time.
I really like that, Malcolm. It just gives me the idea of, you know, all right, after this mission, you know, your players walk into the bar that they always walk into, the I'll be back. They get the same greeting from the same person, the same bartender, Arnold. And he goes, what you like, boys? Same thing as always? Or girls? Adventures, what would you like to drink? Same thing as always? And then all of a sudden they hear in the background a bunch of Arnold goes back into the kitchen to grab the drinks and food and whatnot. And you just hear a clatter of crashing dishes and other kitchen items, you know, falling to the ground. And you just hear the, well, shit. And as Arnold comes back, this gnome who is already old is now coming back ancient. You look down and you've outgrown your armor. Your players have all aged 50 years. Experience points have gone up. And what was supposed to be an eventless night, a day off, if you will, has now turned into a battle royale of all things to that would have come if they had continued on adventuring. And now they just want to take this one last drink, and all of a sudden it's you know, every dragon that they were going to face has come to fight. Every bad guy that they, like, left took the time to grow powerful and attack, and now it's just either you drink and stay alive, or you go down fighting.
You can even have a couple like stat blocks. And if this is a campaign ender, this can be, you can like pull up some NPCs that your party has jilted in the past. If it's a one shot, you can have them start drinking and like brag about some people that their characters have screwed over, and then just throw them into some of the templates you've made, because in the future they grow powerful and are able to challenge the players. And so they can talk about like stealing from this one barkeep who in the future becomes this powerful artificer to try and take revenge.
More like a barfister.
But I like this. I like all the ideas that we came up with on this one. There are a lot of different ways. Hopefully you guys like at least one of them that this can go. Because we got nuclear winter. We got portals. We got no portals. We got time travel. We got no time travel. We got people showing up who hate you. We got people showing up because it's the gods bar. We got people showing up because it's a normal bar. We got everything happening. The only thing we don't have happening is nothing happening.
Yeah, I do feel like we need a nice thread, though, easier to plug in. Mm-hmm. Because this is a lot of... This is like going to a Chinese buffet. You got a lot of options, and sometimes you just want a simple meal to plug in, you know? Plug in your mouth.
I was going to leave that to whoever was on Recap or Synopsis to come up with that part.
Well, Recap would be David.
Hello.
Synopsis would be you, Malcolm.
Cool. So we're probably going to pick two different ones, David. I don't know. Maybe we'll pick the same.
I would, if I were you two, or who's David goes first, so Malcolm, I would try to go off of what he said, just for our DM to make it a little bit more. Hopefully they stop listening and maybe they pulled a thread and started writing on their own. But in case they haven't and just want a nice spoonful of sugar to help that DM struggle go down, let's try to give that to them.
Fair enough. I can't promise that, though. I'm much more of a fan of sour things.
I'm not asking for promises.
I have so much power. Shall we move into the recap and synopsis, then?
No. Give him another idea. And another idea. You get an idea. And you get an idea.
Pirates coming.
And pirates. And it's actually not a bar. It's
a bar.
It's a bar. It's an actual bar. It's your favorite bar that you used to lift to get strong.
It's a ballet bar, actually.
It's a ballet bar. Where your barbarian learned how to do ballet.
Okay.
All right, we got the goofs out. It's been a week. Listeners, it's been a week.
Recap for this one. The end of the world is coming, and your party has decided to return to their favorite bar in order to have one last drink of their favorite ale of all time. So they head back to the ale be back for this drink. As the nuclear winter sets in and horrible frozen monsters block their path, and once they actually get to the bar, assault it. Your party spends their time drinking, and the barkeep is using this odd magical instrument on his 6,000-year-aged ale that he sells that your party slowly is able to realize they can use to take them back in time and fix the bar and fix the end of the world if they can survive the onslaught of the monsters.
So this is a little open-ended. Let's give it a shot. Your party looks at the old man with the wrinkled face in the broken bar around them, and they are concerned. Is it gonna hurt? Well, they zap themselves, and they are, in fact, back in time to when this was a bustling and beautiful bar. And they look around, and they see that old man has always been that old. And he looks at you with a wink and says, "You better get busy. We got lots of work to do." Very simple.
Yeah.
Very open-ended.
That's good.
And very nice.
Very nice. You know, I've never seen Borat, actually. That's just a fun fact. It doesn't relate to anything at all that we talked about this episode other than the very nice, but I've never seen it.
Well, thanks for listening to Filling in the Gap Reroll. Our theme music is Today by Lindby off the album Drive. If you like it, which I know you all do, you can hear more of them at lindby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. Very funny, very good. Go listen to them. They're great. You can find us at Twitter at Filling in the Gaps, which we shorten to FITGDND. You can follow me, your outro and scenario host, Sam, at DM Mambo. And for our lovely introer, David, you can find him at...
Hello. You can find me at Daedra18.
And Malcolm, for that lovely open-ended recap you gave us, Synapsis, here's your open-ended outro.
I don't have one of the things. I'm the Twitter for the FITG D&D. So that's me.
like Malcolm openly ended said, you can follow the show at FITG D&D or on our Discord, which we would love for you to join because we're always looking for new bees to join the hive mind. Hive Mind for Life. You can definitely find us there as well. We have a server link in our Twitter. We are always looking for new themes and scenarios, so add them to our list, please. The show is edited by Audio Gremlin, Kat Brown. You can follow her on Twitter at xnubinator912x. We are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about Obtuse Audio Studios at obtuseaudio.com. Don't forget to give us a 5-star Apple iTunes review. Much appreciated, much needed. And now you can do that on Spotify if you're listening on that. And buy our merch on Redbubble. ... Please.
Tell your friends about us also. We like people, we promise. Well, kind of.
Help us out. We love you all. Tell your friends, tell your mom. You know, when you go to work, put us on for your cats and dogs. Have them listen to us.
We're pet people. They like us.
I like pets more than people most of the time.
Via Mambo 5, out!
Bye-bye.
Colorful living is not quite like me. Plainly, I find there is too much to see. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.